Up next on Improvisations, an interview with Louis Varis-Blanche, who contacted me about an obscure jazz musician with Native American roots that played with Louis Armstrong, among other folks. It's a fascinating story, and Louis is a fascinating guy, also a vocalist. So let's get into it. Louis, you contacted me by email, and just there were so many cool things in that email. I don't even know where to start with it, but it was just all wonderful. Can you tell me where you're from? What's your story?
Well, I have a saying. When I was a young boy, I didn't know what to say about my racial lineage. And I started telling people I was a man of the universe. But I was actually born in Fort Bragg, North Carolina. I'm a Cherokee, Choctaw, Blackfoot, French Creole, gumbo guy. So I am, to make it easy, I tell people I'm gumbo, you know, I'm a little bit of everything. But my mother's side of the family was from North Carolina, over Roland, Lumberton area, and my father's side of the family was, he was actually born in Macomb, Mississippi, which ironically is the home of Bo Diddley, and the Marcellus family. Macomb is about an hour from New Orleans. It's a teeny little town in Mississippi. But my dad moved from Macomb to New Orleans and joined the Army and made me an Army brat.
So you've been all over.
I have.
So what's your main instrument?
I'm a vocalist. Yeah. And my father loved jazz. He actually loved jazz and country. My mom listened to like all kinds of pop stuff. And, you know, my mixed cultural background, what I was raised with, became just an incredible blessing. My parents had French and German friends and Vietnamese and Korean friends. And so every weekend it was like a potluck. But my parents played a lot of music. And I believe that listening to all that music, it was just seeping into my soul. And I began collecting albums when I was maybe 5 or 6. And I would go in a record store, which I don't know if many people these days know what that is, but if I went in a record store, I would literally touch every album in the store. I mean, I bought classical, I bought funk, I bought country, I bought reggae. I love music, you know? Stan Getz happened to live in Irvington. Now, I didn't meet Stan, but I was living down the street from Stan. I have 4 kids, and the mother of my kids, her father was a chiropractor in Irvington, New York. So I look at the paper one day, and I see they're having this memorial for this guy named Russell Big Chief Moore, who was born in Arizona. And I had spent a lot of time in Arizona, and they were having the memorial at St. Peter's Church in New York City. It turns out the priest there was an avid jazz fan. And a lot of jazz players had been eulogized there. And so I was in Irvington, and I got on the train and headed to the city, and I go to the memorial, and there are these Native people from Arizona there at the church, and that was in 1983. And some years passed, the early, I think 2001, 2002, I got this idea of trying to find Russell's relatives. And I got in touch with his wife. And, you know, people weren't really talking about Russell Big Chief Moore. And I asked her if I could help to tell the story of his life. You know, she gave me permission to collect his memorabilia. And one of his relatives lived out on the Gila River Reservation, which Gila River is outside of Phoenix, which is where Russell was born. And I called around and found his relative there in Arizona, and he gave me these 2 albums. And to have a true Native American, a first person, as we call ourselves, Native people are the first people. And so Russell's place in this genre is well-earned, and I'm hoping just to do more and more to help him get respected for his contributions.
This recording was from 1973, April 1973 in New York. And there's a track on here called Chant for Wounded Knee, which had been very timely. And can you tell me a little bit about that?
Well, Chant for Wounded Knee and the other song, Big Chief Stomp, were Russell's original compositions. And it's his way of putting native element to in a jazz format. So Chant for Wounded Knee, some of the stories that Russell tells is have to do with his hearing the Native American chants as a little boy. I don't know if I mentioned it, but he his father died, and he went to Chicago to live with his uncle. And when he was in Chicago, Chicago had quite a jazz scene. Jazz was coming in from New York and New Orleans, but, you know, Chicago, I think, was where Russell would say he got his first taste of the jazz world. He went back from Chicago, back to Arizona, where he was born, and started playing trombone when he was at the Tucson High School. And from there, they had these bands that would tour. I think it's mentioned. I think they were called reservation bands, but they were not like bands playing the real jazz circuits. But he went on the road, left Arizona, and his traveling ended up taking him to New Orleans and hooking up with Lionel Hampton, as I said, and Papa Celestine, and all these really highly respected jazz people.
Okay, we've got queued up Big Chief Stomp. And do you mind if we also listen to Chant for Wounded Knee?
Not at all.
All right, here it comes.
Oh. da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da- you know. Your friends just made you make me learn to sing another sad song. Good luck may be with you. I know your future you won't fear. There won't be another to treat you like a brother. Someday you will be sorry, dear.
So what do you think Russell Moore's legacy can be?
Well, I want the Native American Museum to induct him into the Native American Hall of Fame, the Native American Musical Hall of Fame. I mean, people may not know, but Jimi Hendrix was inducted. Jimmy was part Cherokee. And I believe Hank Williams Sr. was inducted because he's got some Cherokee. So that, I think, is the one priority. But my goal in going to schools, working from kindergarten to even postgrad level, you know, is to inspire Native American children to want to be, maybe to emulate Russell Big Chief Moore, you know, to know that, hey, you know, there's a man who's a great, great seed of inspiration for the youth of today, because Native culture is going through some heavy-duty stuff still. There's the highest per capita rate of suicide is amongst Native youth. And there's a lot of help that Native people still need. For instance, when I see Cherokee tribe here, the reservation here is in a much more pristine condition than what you see on the Hopi lands and Navajo lands and Lakota. I'm working with a company called Peace Train, and I've got a friend named Dr. Mohsen Harmanish, who has redesigned the circular teepee to be kind of a pyramid. It's a multi-sided TP-shaped device that has the biocosmic energy of the pyramid. And there's a need for housing on the Lakota Rez out in the Dakota, North and South Dakota area. And I'm hoping to contact some of the Cherokee people here to turn them on to this housing project and to bring Russell's legacy over there, you know, haven't succeeded in doing that yet, but that's one of my goals, is to inspire the youth and just to get more Native people to know, Native and non-people. Jazz lovers, I think, you know, come in all shapes and sizes and cultures, and I feel like he's one of our elders that needs to be remembered.
And I really appreciate you bringing him to my attention, you know. That's it's an incredible thing to learn about, because, you know, I've spent my whole life listening to jazz, and then you bring in something like this and I realize how little I know and how much there is.
Yeah, there's a lot to be discovered, you know, in the world of music. And a lot of people, as I said, the New Orleans culture, that what Katrina did to New Orleans, there's things that people may not get to know about, because those beautiful priceless artifacts are gone.
Well, Louis, thanks for coming in and sharing all of this.
Man, thank you for having me. And I hope I haven't been too long-winded and you can make sense of all this, the gumbo yaya here.
I'm a huge fan of gumbo.